Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's no lie.
That's no lie.
Hoping you had a terrific long weekend. There were plenty of races to keep an eye on. We're going to delve into all of those races, the good ones and the bad ones, and also the barrier trials this morning at Rosehill Gardens with the best on the planet of the equine world, Winx, going around. I've described it the best third ever in a barrier trial. We'll take your thoughts. Congratulations again to Blake Shing coming back from that horrific neck injury to then strut his stuff and win first up. His first ride back, the first winner there with Dawn Passage, who now goes into equal favouritism for the English Millennium and also comes into contention for the Golden Slipper and then for any man. But for Blake, first day back at the track to get a horse called Tom Melbourne home to win the feature race, the Carrington Stakes. Well, he's a miracle worker. Speaking of miracle workers, good morning, Ronnie Duffersey.
Yeah, good morning, TK. And isn't the racing hiding up?
Yeah.
You know, we're just looking at these trials this morning and some nice horses there at Randwick on Saturday. The nominations for Saturday, the Expressway, you got horses like, you know, Elise, Trapeze Artist, Lubramane, Hartnell, you know, Lanciado in the Expressway. The two-year-old races are really stacked full of interest. You know, there could even be late comers, you know, for Golden Slipper calculations that haven't even been on the track yet. Just looking at a few trials yesterday in those two-year-old races, oh, there was one horse there in that Canonbury Stakes, a horse called McLaren. Can't wait to see him on Saturday. And all in all, a good meeting, and that's going to flow right through the autumn now.
There were some pretty good performances down at Caulfield on the weekend as well. The colts of the, what I call the quarterfinals of the Blue Diamonds, and next month's Blue Diamond really hotting up now. Catch Me winning the fillies division for Pete and Paul Snowden. Firming now from $8 into $4.50. And then the colts, I Am Immortal, trained by Anthony Friedman, which led all the way. Dean Lester joins us from Melbourne. G'day, Dino.
Hello, TK.
Yeah, what did you make of it?
I was very impressed with Catch Me. She hasn't had any spoil in the run both times she's been to the races, and yet she's still found a way to win. Think that she's ticking over well, and she did carry the 2 kilo penalty. She carried more weight than any other 2-year-old there on Saturday, and yet come Blue Diamond Day, she'll be getting 2 kilos off the boys. So it'll be a 4 kilo turnaround in essence. So I just think she's going along beautifully.
We saw that Brooklyn Hustle win at Moonee Valley, didn't we? $4.50 now at tab.com.au for the Blue Diamond coming up. Catch Me at $4.50. They've got it right, haven't they, there?
Yep. She's the best 2-year-old we've seen down here, Brooklyn Hustle. I'm pretty confident about that. And I think in the current group, from the quarterfinals, Catch Me is the one I want to be a part of.
Yeah, which is good.
And knowing Team Snowden, she wouldn't have been really wound right up. She's already qualified, obviously, so they're not chasing their tail. And I'd suggest there's more to come from that filly. She's beautiful.
Yeah, she was beautifully behaved until Kieran went to get on, and then she was a bit fresh. And so, as you said, there's a few little bit to come yet. And just they know the territory so well. They've been so in all the 2-year-old races, but they've had a great record in the Blue Diamond back from the Darley days. So they certainly know how to peak on the right day. And she's been down here the whole time prepping up. It's been long-range plan to have a right for the Blue Diamond.
So we've got the Prelude in 2 weeks' time, then the big one itself with Brooklyn Hustle currently $4.50, along with Catch Me at $4.50 at tab.com.au. What we'll do is, if you missed it, we'll give you a listen to the Winx, the second barrier trial for Winx. As Ronnie Duffersey pointed out to me only moments ago, maybe the last ever barrier trial we see Winx in action. I think she's only ever won one of roughly 20 barrier trials. Here's how it unfolded at about 8:15, and then I'll get the opinion of both Ronnie Duffersey and Dean Lester, but you can also join the debate. 1353 53, text messages 0419 767 272. Here's the barrier trial.
Started just holds them.
And he lets them go now, and they're off, and Winks, she jumped with them. Cool Passion bounced fast from the outside, and she'll come across on lead. Graceful Glamour and Ace High, who's showing nice speed. In fourth placing, settling down as Sprite, and fifth the rails as Egg Tart from Shillelagh. And Winks is just a little bit wide. Two links away, D'Argento at the end of the field. So it's Cool Passion, three quarters to Ace High by the 600. Sprite a length away, third. Graceful Glamour, fourth. They're followed by Winks. She's tracking into it nicely. Egg Tart the inside from Shillelagh and Gento. So around the turn, and it's Cool Passion from Ace High. Egg Tart's weave through, and they're followed by Sprite, Graceful Glamour. Winks is about to come to the outside, and then D'Argento. It's Cool Passion at the 150 from Ace High and Sprite. Winks under a hole just behind them. It's Cool Passion from Sprite. Cool Passion a neck in front. Sprite is driving at it the outside, and Sprite finished the better to beat Cool Passion, and Winks under double wraps was three quarters away third. That was spectacular work from the great mare.
It certainly was. Matt Jackson there, 29 already in a row for Winks, trying to make it 30 in the Apollo Stakes, which is going to be at Ramwick on February 16. Impressions there, Ronnie?
Beautiful. That's Winks. She's hard to read in the trials, but he gave her a little bit of a dig just to get a mind on things today. They've scampered home in the trial in 33.3, so she did it under her own steam, and everything's just ticking along beautifully, as it usually is with her.
Yes, it is. Any thoughts there, Dino?
Oh, it was just a lovely piece of work. Yeah. Yeah, the thing is that it's the next 400 metres is where she comes into her own. So at 1,000 metres, that's fine. Then you see her, you watch that and you go, gee, D'Argento will be, he'll be thereabouts, but she'll put the foot down in the next 400 metres and assert her authority.
Yeah, it is. Tom Melbourne was due to go round, but obviously winning on the weekend. Geez, what a surprise that was, Tom Melbourne. I think not so much the win, Ronnie, 3 years in the wilderness, but just how authoritative the win was.
Well, he got back to a listed company. That was the key to him. And he was just beautifully placed in that race. We know he's good fresh, and he got a masterful ride by Blake. He's not the easiest horse to ride, as we know. He's not an outside barrier horse. But once he just slotted in there and half switched him off, you never switch him off. He just asserted his superiority, where his main danger stood in the barrier, Endless Drama, and made it a little bit easier for him as well. So great to see him get home, and hopefully he can gain a lot of confidence out of that.
Yeah, Endless Drama. Was there anything in the Stewart's report about why Endless Drama missed the kick?
I think he just played up in the barrier.
Right.
Yeah, as they pressed the button, he did something silly, yeah.
He really came out awkward, didn't he? Yeah. But I think with regard to Tom, I think that sort of rattled his cage a bit. I think he did a bit of beach work down here after the end of last prep and had the trial at Flemington. Like, he trialled through the roof at Flemington. I know he's a good trialler, but at least it was got a bit of confidence. And when the moment came on Saturday, he actually ran through the line.
He's a pretty good racehorse, isn't he?
Well, he is.
He's always been at the highest level, and so many occasions he's found one better. But he looked pretty genuine on the weekend.
I'm surprised he hasn't attracted more votes for the All-Star Mile. You know, he's waiting. They've just that is a wait for age mile. He'd be suited in a race like that, I would have thought.
He's a Group 1 place getter at Flemington over a mile.
That's right.
In a Kennedy Mile. So I think he'd be a really good acquisition to the race.
Yeah. I'm surprised there wouldn't be that many more well-known horses in the country there than
No, he's got
Tom
a good,
Melbourne.
He's got a good following, and
be interesting with the votes, because after about 24-48 hours, there was 24,000 votes, and a lot of the pundits down here were saying, "I wonder how many more votes they're going to get." I think we'll get a stack, because there's such good money on offer if you find the right horse and you get linked to it.
Well, this Urban Ruler, who's a big syndicated horse, it's on top with 5,758 votes currently. The Autumn Sun is in second position, 4,222, but Ronnie, very, very doubtful for the All-Star Mile.
Only if he has a setback, I'm hearing. Well, they're saying. So, you could nearly put the line through him. An Urban Ruler, I saw him trial at Doombin a minute ago. He was under pressure, and he fell into fourth spot there anyway.
Well, they can't kick him out. I mean, he's a lock now, surely.
Yeah, I reckon he'd be just about qualified.
He's just about in, surely, isn't he, Dino? You'd have to think with 5,758, he's going to have to hit a log
Yeah.
Not to be there. Mm. And I'm sure They've got discretionary powers, haven't they, the committee, Dino, so they can shove another four in.
And they've got four wild cards, yeah.
And I think...
Tom would be in the
I think he, just the publicity he would generate, Ronnie.
Yeah, no, I think he'd be in the running for one of those wild cards for sure.
And even on record and ability, he gets into the field, let alone the publicity he generates.
No doubt. You know, when you look at his rating and considering its weight for age, you know, I think that's what they'll sum up. They'll be pretty smart blokes. Probably Greg Carpenter will have something to do with it. He'll know what's the best horse for that, best four for that race for sure.
Mm. We've got to pay tribute to Blake Shin, not only for trying to get the best out of Tom Melbourne and winning the Carrington Stakes, but he won his very first ride back. It was for Gay Waterhouse and also Adrian Bott, Dawn Passage. Now we'll go to the Inglis Millennium as the co-favourite for the Inglis Millennium, and then, who knows, onto the Golden Slipper if it gets enough money. But Blake was quite emotional after passing the line in first position on Dawn Passage when he came back to the enclosure, and justifiably so. I don't think we should underestimate the amount of pain he's gone through, Ronnie, and also the amount of effort he's gone through in the rehab to get himself back.
Well, his professionalism is just second to none. You know, to think a heavyweight rider like Blake after 6 months off or so, and then he gets back to the races, you know, fighting fit at 55 and a half. That's his riding weight anyway. And he wouldn't have blown a match out. You know, he very clean winded after he got off all his rides. And just looking at the way he rode him, that Dawn Passage is a very, very nice horse. And he's going to get better as the races get longer. And he just left him alone. I know they went along, and but he really owned that race late. He's a good horse. He's a very good horse. And then his ride on Tom Melbourne, and you look at his ride in the last race there. I know it got beat Gresham, it drew the outside barrier, he ended up third the rail. It was just absolutely picture perfect. He's riding all day.
Good to see him back, Dino.
No doubt. Not much more to say than Duff said, really.
No, exactly. It was just good. Dawn Passage, were you impressed? $3.50 for this Inglis Millennium coming up on February 9 at tad.com.au. A session also at $3.50. Cardiff on the second line of betting at $8, on with Vinukunka, $8, but is doubtful. Chicago Bull is an $11 chance, along with Fiery Red.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'm still probably a session, I think, at this stage. But it's a shame you said Vinukunka's doubtful. He trialled quite well on Friday at Flemington.
Yeah. And he's an interesting horse out, probably out of that pack outside the favourite runners. I think he trials today in Sydney, Chicago Bull. He had a big rap on him, the Galagotas.
A massive rap on him.
So it'll be interesting to see how he trials today.
I'm a Cool Kid was quite brilliant, Ronnie. He's one to watch for the country championship, no doubt. Trained by Gaynor Williams out of Mudgee there. And bought as a yearling. She's had it, and it's had precious little starts. It's now 6 years of age. Obviously, it's had big, big injury concerns, Duff, but, God, that was a good win of a good horse, really.
Yeah, look, it's a case of what could have been with him, I reckon. He's still going to win a lot of races, but obviously it's been worth the patience and the care to get him back to the races. He's had injuries, he's bled. But, wow, what a cruising speed he's got. He just ambled across. I don't know about the country championships. I think she'll, considering his background, I think he'll be kept
short.
Yeah, kept very short. 1,200 as far as you'd want to see him go before he wants to, you know, let's just tick off the 1,200 metre box first.
Yeah.
What did you think, Dino?
I think he's a very good galloper, and I think that's the point, though. In essence, he looks a perfect country championships horse, but whether you want to lengthen him with the backstory of him. But, it's good to see, battling stallion and I Invincible get another one.
In the country. Jeez. A six-year-old.
They're just everywhere.
Unbelievable, the two-year-olds around at the moment.
They just keep performing, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they are just perfect for what we race at. Showed that on Saturday with both preview winners down here. Yeah, tremendous stallion.
Mm. What do you think about it might be too far, the country championship, for I'm a Cool Kid? What getting the work into the horse that's had so many injury setbacks, Ronnie?
Well, why go against his strengths? You know, his strengths is his speed. And Gaynor is such a hands-on, careful trainer. I if she does it, I want to be with him, but I don't think she will. I don't think she will. She'll handpick other races for him. She knows what she's doing, but the indications on Saturday were no way in the world, you know.
Yeah, exactly. pardon me, I've still got a bit of a cough, but it was certainly such an impressive performance. We saw race one, Dawn Passage, then race two, I'm a Cool Kid. And really, I guess Deal Maker was the unlucky runner of the entire day. That was in race eight.
Yeah, they just wandered in front of him there in the straight, and he just got his momentum hampered. When Sondalon come off the inside there and just made it, he brushed Brazen, and Brazen come on to Dealmaker. So that's cost him the race for sure, but he'll improve off that, as most of Chris's horses will do, and he's probably a horse to follow. And the other good winner of the day was obviously Sylvia's Mother. She's a progressive type of filly. Who could go to, you know, black type as well. She got held up there in the straight, but got the job done, and she looks rather exciting as well.
Yeah, at one stage she looked like she was going to be an absolute moral beaten, but she was short, but she justified that short quite once she saw some fresh air, Duff.
Yeah, definitely. No, she's a really nice filly.
I'll tell you what, we talked about Tom Melbourne, a horse with some convictions, or in fact a horse with many convictions actually winning. What about New Universe, who got home in the last? It's had its dramas as well, Duff.
Yeah, he's had big dramas. He looked so good when he first come over from New Zealand at his first couple of starts, and we thought, wow, this could be a Doncaster horse at one stage there, and then he's lost his way ever since, and his race sense is not there. And it's funny though, at his start before Saturday, he was very confidently backed. And he ran well, and he was very confidently backed again on Saturday. Geez, the marketplace knows when these horses are going to win. I don't know why, but you know, he wasn't easy to find. He was easy to find if you looked at the form and how he went last start. But he's hard to back.
And you didn't if you didn't know him that well.
Exactly.
I reckon you think, oh.
If you took his name away from him.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a little bit like, I think he was about $6.50 into $5 or into about $4.50.
Yeah, he was very well backed in a good betting race.
We'll take your views on 13.53.53. We'll also hear from Huey Bowman, also Chris Waller from the Barrier Trials this morning. It's been a very, very busy morning for him. At Caulfield on the weekend, both the fillies and also the colts and geldings in the Blue Diamond. But talking about money being pretty well spot on, Caulfield on the weekend, you know, geez, they got it right most of the day, the punters, didn't they?
Yeah, there was, I think, two that linked through a lot of smart punters' multis, and they were cracked the code and silence, and they both saluted. So that was the good starting point for the day. And as you said, from there, most were well found. Miss Norway leading all the way with Senior Rider on. We've spoken to the preview winners. Social Spin was a bit of an anchor for a lot of people's quaddies, and he saluted. Probably Tarquin was the little bit of value that beat El Galale, but that was just courtesy of a magnificent Fred Kersley ride, good young rider. And Rock and Gold, smart ride in the last at big odds. But as you said, the ones that the punters really zoned in on got the money.
Yeah, the only one that actually won at double figure odds on the entire program to give the value to the quaddy was actually Rock and Gold.
It was, and that was just courtesy of D Lane going around finding the front in a race that looked like, with our Beetson and The Answer My Friend, looked like it was going to be a solidly run race. The Answer My Friend missed the starter, Beetson held up, and D-Lane said, well, I'll take it up and win the race.
And out of the previews, you know, we've talked about Catch Me, and obviously it's firmed in to be equal favourite for the Blue Diamond, $4.50 at tab.com.au. Brooklyn Hustle, we've discussed, it's had that one start at Moonee Valley and was super impressive for the one win at $4.50. I'm Immortals on about the fourth line of betting, $11 with a few others, but no one's won, but no one's getting overly carried away with I Am Immortal.
Yeah, you see this with the previews because it's the change from 1,000 then to 11 and then to the 1,200, yeah. And that's the challenge for him. And whether he raced a lot better than he trialed, in that he paced himself pretty well. He was, I think he's a good, really good two-year-old, really good competitive two-year-old, whether it's 1,200 metres, whereas I just think Catch Me will relish the 1,200-metre tempo. And I've got a slight leaning to the fillies at this stage, and as is the market, Brooklyn Hustle obviously being equal favourite.
Any hidden runs amongst those first starters in the fillies preview?
The fillies, Andressi Avenue is a good filly. She trialled up really well, but she drew the outside and went right back. I think if she draws reasonably at her next start, if that's the prelude, she could really improve. And another one of Hayes Dabenig's in the Colts, Exeter. I just think Brazen Brando was the flashing light run in that he was unlucky and weaving through, and it was a very good run. But Exeter, I just think he was a bit sort of bit dull, bit blunt. I think you'll see a gear change on him going closer to the Blue Diamond, and whether he may be just more a sire's horse, but I think Exeter's, he's a very nice horse. His trials have been good, and yeah, as I said, just 1,000 was a bit much for him, but on the line he was okay.
And there's probably, Tussaud's not going down there for the Blue Diamond.
No.
It's just stay up here. It's in the market, but you know, it's a $11 chance, quite clearly. It's not out of the Blue Diamond yet, but it's not in the Blue Diamond either. But it's a sort current favourite for the Golden Slipper overall. We're going to take your calls. Ronnie Duffersey and Dean Lester are all ears. Any queries? 13 53 53. If you want to give Blake Shin a rap for what he achieved on the weekend, please feel free to give us a buzz. 13 53 53. Text messages I will get to 0419 767 272, and we'll also hear from both Huey Bowman and Chris Waller. But forget about them. It's now time to get the latest sporting headlines with Madison Clare Sloan.
What an introduction, Terry. Well, it's all about the tennis. This morning, Australia's Davis Cup team have arrived in Adelaide ahead of this week's qualifier against Bosnia and Herzegovina. John Millman is set to play the singles with Alex Diminor and says the team feels pretty confident ahead of Friday's opening rubbers. In cricket, the Perth Scorchers have somehow gone from bad to worse, suffering a 78-run loss to the Melbourne Renegades last night. Well, in more cricket news, Sixers captain Moses Henriques believes Josh Felipe is set to become the next big thing in Aussie cricket. Felipe backed up the hype with 86 of 49 balls against the Hurricanes last week and will be primed for a repeat against the Strikers tonight. And the NRL will order referees to put the whistle away and reward free-flowing, attractive play this season in a bid to improve the game as a spectacle. That's all the latest on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their SafeLine window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio is ready for a monster few months of Sydney racing, and it all starts Saturday with multiple group races, including the Expressway Stakes at Rose Hill.
Trapeze Artist, way too good in the Expressway.
Catch Racing HQ from 6:30 for the Rose Hill preview from all our form experts. The best start to your Saturday. Sky Sports Radio.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
13 53 53, you just heard that open line number. We've got callers online. We're going to have a chat with them. Dean Lester and also Ronnie Duffersey are all ears to answer any of your queries going forward to what was a impressive barrier trial from Winks, placed third this morning. If you're just joining us, we will hear from Chris Waller and also Huey Bowman. But now time to hear from Peter. Hi, Pete.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Duff, just a query to you mainly. I rely on electronic timing generally doing my form, and I still think that some tracks haven't moved on with the era of hand timing. And if a notification was put in the form, whether the certain tracks still hand time, I feel it would be beneficial.
I wouldn't think any tracks in these days are hand timed unless there's a malfunction.
There's a safety clocker.
Yeah, well, they go back on and check it. But I'm saying, I'd say every track in every registered track in New South Wales, it'll be electronically timed. But if there is a malfunction, I think it has to be put into the form that it was hand-timed. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
How does your hand timing line up with the electronic timing, Pete?
Well, I've relied on, you know, a lot of guys doing form rely on, you know, the quality of the races that they've been up against in the past start. But I rely on times, and if they run similar times on two different tracks on similar good surfaces, that's a bit of a guide for me. But if I feel it's been a hand timed track, that it might run 1-2 for 1100 on a bush track, or even at a picnic meeting, for instance, you know. You know, I tend to steer away from those times a little when doing the form.
Yeah, look, it's I love to look at the times on the day. I think it's dangerous looking on different days on different tracks, but yeah. The average on the day is very important. So, look at it, and we expect them to be correct. You know, I know we got a couple of smart people that check the times. I know Michael Fraser does it. I know Vince Accardi does it. Yep. There's three or four around the country that do it well, and they pick up glaring mistakes quite often. So, it's something that we've got to be on top of all the time, and making sure all the data is correct that is released, because that's what some people rely on.
Dino, send a message to the gates. If a horse is heavily backed, ride it like a good thing. Don't try and look pretty, Manilo Blahnik, in the last on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not going to defend Dwayne, but I sort of thought the horse would be four back the fence on a fast speed, and he was four back the fence on a slow speed. I mean, he's not go forward. They've tried that go forward horse. He's a real one pace, and he's not a stakes horse when he's ridden forward. He's got to be. Yeah, it was a perfect scenario for him at Flemington when he drew wide, and he was three wide and just rolled into the race and won. Mm. That day he was dictated to, and the race just didn't break up enough, and then it was a sprint home. I mean, he. You know, his fate was sort of in the hands of how fast the answer my friend and the Beetson would go, and neither of them did. So in a race where you probably thought they'd go about five or six lengths above standard, the first 600, they actually went about three lengths below. So massive shift in.
And Damien Lane got the tempo right on.
Yeah, well, he was in a spot where he could roll around. I think if Dwayne had drawn out and was trapped, he might have then just rolled up gradually as he did sort of at Flemington. But I think once you're in there, you can't jump them.
Hi, Wayne. Good morning.
Okay, boys.
Hey, good morning.
Just after the name of the horse that trialled against Obsession yesterday.
Just after the horse that trialled against Obsession yesterday.
Well, they had a track gallop at Warwick Farm.
Yes, that was. What was that? I know. I wrote it down yesterday. The horse that galloped with a session yesterday was. It'll come to me because someone brought it up to me yesterday. But stay tuned, it'll come to
me. Well, must have been a good trial, was it?
I thought it went better than the other horse.
There's no doubt it did. But mate, Wayne, I remember talking to Chris Waller, I think, and this horse. They say is the worst track worker of all time, a session.
Oh, really?
And I remember hearing that twice now. So I'd be very careful of taking notice of a session's track gallop yesterday. I won't put you off the horse that he galloped with.
If you can think of it, Ronnie, can you pass it on the road?
Yeah, Wayne, you stay listening, mate. We'll one of our listeners or Ronnie eventually when he gets over, you know.
It was Luciello.
Luciello.
Right. And
it runs on Saturday in the 2-year-old fillies race, I think.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, Luciello.
Yeah, I saw its name in somewhere.
Yeah, its trials are good. Go and have a look at its trials on Racing New South Wales. I did all those trials for the 2-year-old race yesterday, and I give it a double tick as well. But Luciello,
and it's on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. Hello, Mark. Good morning.
Morning, lad. I just wondering if you've seen a horse down here target for the country championships called Rock and Roller.
Rock and Roller.
Yeah, it's a Wayne Carroll trained Piero Gilding. He's won, I think, three from six, and his first two wins are just very, very impressive.
Okay. We'll keep an eye out for him. Is he nominated for Saturday? give me a look here, Rock. Rock and Roller, we'll keep an eye out for him.
Tweedy.
All right, Rock and Roller. We've got no markets up currently at tab.com.au, just a little bit early for those country championships and provincial championships. Obviously, geez, they start in the next fortnight, don't they?
2 weeks,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, in the next fortnight. So it won't be long before we're into that and sort of trying to find out who's going to be the most impressive come the big day throughout the championships. Just on text message, they keep on coming in. Dino, morning, boys. Wanted Dino's opinion on Pico at Caulfield yesterday. I thought it was very flat-footed in the straight.
Yeah, I thought Sandown yesterday, it was...
Sandown, sorry.
Yeah, it was in a good spot. I think if he'd had his time again, Michael Poy might have come out three wide underneath the roughy coming to the turn, because the ones in front of him sort of didn't break up until they sprinted quickly, and that's why it looked really flat-footed. I'd love to have seen him come out in the three wide line coming to the turn and got rolling. But, it was out-sprinted, but the leaders had set the race up pretty well for themselves.
Hi, gents. Dean, do we know when the Friedman pair, Santa and Elaine and Scholes, return and main aims are this autumn? Regards, Paul.
Santa and Elaine is probably the TJ, I think, is his main aim. And how he gets there, I'm not sure. And Scholes, I think she holds a nomination for the All-Star Mile, so they're keeping a lot of options open with her. They're not. I don't think they're far off, either having a jump out or a trial.
Just looking for her in the market for the All-Star Mile. Lizzie is the current favourite at $8. The Autumn Sun, which we've said is doubtful, $8 at tab.com.au. Happy Clap is not even in the top 10 at the moment. $11. Land of Plenty is $11. Mystic Journey, $11. D'Argento, which we saw go round this morning, Ronnie?
Yep, he went round in a trial this morning, and so he's ticking along well.
He's a $15 chance, extra brute, $15. Hartnell, we're going to see on the weekend, Hartnell, aren't we, in the...
They decide to run there, but he's nominated. It's 1,200. He hasn't won under 1,300, but I think they're over the moon with his trial the other day, the connections. So
we're going to see Hartnell and Le Romaine this weekend, and then Scholes is there, Dino, in the betting for the All-Star Mile, a $15 chance at tab.com.au.
Yeah, I think I think it's time to lengthen her back out again. She's a... when it was the Meyer Classic, she won the Meyer Classic over a mile, and she's surround stakes winner at 1,400, so it might be a good time to have another go over the longer trips.
That was a little bit unfortunate. We had a chat with Paul Gallen, who's one of the co-owners, high-profile owners, captain of the Sharks, former captain of the New South Wales side, as well as far as rugby league's concerned, Dino. And Tiaka Shark, they were pretty keen on stirring up some interest in the voting for that All-Star Mile. I think it was also on the second line of betting for the Doncaster, but it's gone amiss, so it's out for the autumn.
Yeah, there was a bit of a problem with regard to the New Zealanders being able to vote for Tiakar Shark, because it was geo-blocked with the emails. So I think that's something they're looking at already going forward for next year for the first little modification, because it's obviously a good opportunity to get international interest for it. I think that's about where it'll end with New Zealand. But it was a shame for the connection to Tiakar Shark. He's obviously a very smart horse.
It was Caulfield Saturday, Sandown yesterday as far as Melbourne was concerned. Tiger Marty's text in here, Dino. Morning, boys. Would like Dino's opinion on Sandown track. Worst case of leader bias I've seen in a long time. Appalling, says Tiger Marty.
I don't necessarily think it's a leader bias. I think it's the way the track is ridden. I think we do a lot more racing on hillside seemingly than lakeside. When we get back to lakeside, they crawl, and it's a lot sharper downhill from the 600, and the horses in front get momentum, kick off the bend, and they're off and gone. So right. I think it's more that there's a lack of pressure in the races. There was an example of it yesterday in race 4, I think it was. Remember the name. I mean, they just cantered, and they just cranked up from about the 600, and the leaders just won. But, I think the best horse ran third. I'm not saying it's the surface. I'm pretty sure it's how they ride the track usually.
So I guess we've been talking about the lack of initiative from jockeys a fair bit when the tempo does get slow. A lot of them just sit and wait for something to happen.
Yep, seems to be. And yesterday wasn't the one thing when Lakeside's probably at its best is when you've got maximum fields and there's a bit of pressure. But there was not that sort of scenario in a lot of the races yesterday. And, I think it's very much, you know, so there was a little bit of pressure in the last, and a horse like McClary came from off midfield, very well found in the markets and was able to win. So I don't think it's the surface. I think it's very much the dynamics of the track, because they have that downhill run into the bend and can kick. And if the jockeys let the leaders get an easy time, well, they're hard to run down.
We covered one of the good things beaten earlier on in the program, but I'll chat about it again. So this deal maker, which probably, well, should have won. Gary says this stuff. Should Bowman have protested on deal maker? Brazen took his running.
Yes. At first I thought that was going to happen.
Right.
And when I saw the head on, it was Sondalon who was in front and got getting a little tired. And he'd come out and give... Brazen a bump onto Dealmaker. We'll shut the gap a little bit on Dealmaker, put it that way. So no, because Brazen didn't cause the interference. It was indirect interference from Sondalon brushing Brazen.
Right. So there were no grounds.
So no grounds, because Dealmaker beat Sondalon home. He would have had grounds against Sondalon if Sondalon would have won, but no, because it was indirect interference on Brazen caused by Sondalon.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully that answers the question there. Let's go to the open line and have a chat with Charlie. Your calls on 13 53 53. Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffacy on Punters Postmortem. Hi, Charlie.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks.
To have your boys back.
Nice to be back.
Yeah, and I'm still crying about Dealmaker cost me a multi, but I'd like to know what they're thinking about doing with Sprite, pal.
Sprite will be just on all the sprints, I'd say, and there's only one key to Sprite. It's dry tracks. So when she's on dry tracks, she'll be competitive in anything she runs
dry
in.
Track, yeah, I'll take me money for it.
Yeah, as soon as she gets on soft going, she's not the same mare, that's for sure. But she won the trial this morning, and she's looking good.
Anyway, mate, great to have you back, and I listen to you all the time. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, terrific, Charlie. Nice to hear from you. That was Sprite winning the well-publicised trial at 8:15 this morning on the course proper over 1,000 metres at Rosehill Garden. Sprite knocked off Cool Passion. There was a horse called Winx that finished in third position. I mentioned that Hugh Bowman and Chris Waller, there was a big media contingent on hand at Rosehill Gardens. Of course, it was shown live on the Sky Network. But here's what both Chris Waller and Huey Bowman had to say regarding the performance of Winx, and is she going as good as ever?
Earlier today, just to make her stand there a bit longer and behave herself, which she did, and she obviously jumped well. And I just made her be a bit closer today too. Just made her concentrate. You know, I think with her maturity, she got in the habit of being a little bit too relaxed, for want of a better word, in her trials. So without making her do too much, I just made sure she concentrated a bit more, and she responded well.
Compared to previous campaigns, probably hard to compare, but is she where she normally is?
I think she is. I mean, she wouldn't have blown a candle out after the trial this morning, whereas last trial she had a pretty good puff. So I think the fitness has taken a progression since that trial, and she's moving as well as ever. As I said, she's probably a little more relaxed nowadays than she has been previously, but that's no surprise.
Did she feel like the best horse in the world? Or equal best?
No. Not this morning, but I'm sure she will at the races.
Just, Chris, I'm just on that. You surprised by that?
This morning's trial I was very happy with, and, yeah, no surprise to hear Hugh be so happy with her. She's... the ultimate professional. She knows when to turn on race day each and every time, yet in her morning work or the workouts like this morning, she's very relaxed. So it was perfect for my eyes, and great to hear that she felt well and recovered well. And, looking forward to her first race start.
Also to equal best in the world. Again, surprising.
It's a pretty big accolade to have. Not just 1 year, but 3 years in a row. She's been the highest rated horse on turf. Only beaten by two dirt horses, so over a three-year period, and to see her going so well now and still getting the accolades for what she's done over the past 12 months, I think is a credit to my team, Hugh Bowman riding her, and the owners, and the way that they've managed her, not over-raced her, and as a result, everybody's getting a lot of pleasure out of her seeing race equally as well as she has at any part of her career.
process from now? Will she have a race course gallop before her first up run?
Yeah, we've allowed an extra week. It's about an extra 5 days if we need it. Obviously, she's that 6 months older than when we started off for last preparation in the spring, so it's always helpful to be well prepared with any horse, let alone a horse like Winx. And yeah, we've got it up our sleeve if we need it.
Chris, it is coming to an end. You're close to the end of the start. Is it getting easier or harder for you two?
I guess it's mixed thoughts from my perspective. It's just been a pleasure to be associated with her and everything that's come with her success and the people that have followed her and the great story behind her. We know that retirement's getting close, but I think we're fully focused on each race as it comes and just taking that day by day and looking for the obvious signs, which haven't been evident yet, to see her slowing down.
It's quite remarkable. I'll go to Dino first on that often the mares, they just switch off and they decide, well, you know what, I've had enough of this sort of racing caper, and once they do decide that they don't want to race anymore, that's the end of it. Doesn't matter what. You could be the best trainer in the world, it won't change the horse's mind. But she is remarkable. I guess that's why she's won 29 in a row and $24 million.
She is remarkable, but they've never given her that many sort of tasks where she'd want to switch off either. They've really looked, you know, beautiful man management, you know, the four and five run preps at the most, and the way that she's always, you know, handled, and very, very similar to Black Caviar, but the difference is she runs over a lot further, so that's an extra test to just, you know, get the extra work into her. And I think, she's a one of a kind, and so have been the people around her.
Yeah, look, what can you say about it? You know, usually mares there is a prep sometimes that they don't come up, and with mares you either got them or you haven't got them.
I wonder if that was the one where she was playing up in the barrier. She was still winning,
yes,
but that was the prep where she didn't, you know, quite,
yeah,
you know, wasn't quite hitting the mark. Yeah. And that's amazing that she still kept winning.
Exactly. You know, she has had some funny runs where she seemed to have lost interest mid-race. Yeah. I suppose when they had those muffs on.
The earmuffs on was that was the day.
They were lucky to get away with that one.
Yeah, they were.
But she's just a champion. What else can we say about her? We love talking about her, but we regurgate sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
But now, I can tell you we're getting towards the end, so we've got to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, we sort of go, what more do you say? And then when she's gone, you'll be saying, geez, I wish we had Winx back.
Here.
I can tell you what, she switched off in the barriers. She switched off mid-race, but she's never switched off in that last 600 metres.
No way.
Which is quite remarkable. Let's get back to the open line, 13:53:53. And, you know, it is that realisation. She's a lot closer to the end now than she ever has been. Hi, Kurt. Good morning.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, that's the shot. G'day, boys. How are you?
Hey, Kurt.
G'day, Kurt.
That's the way. Hey, Ronnie, I don't know if this one slipped through your sieve on Saturday. It probably might have because it was at the Beaumont.
Perdano.
That's the one, Ronnie.
Oh.
What do you think, Kurt?
Toe to toe. Yes, it's one to follow.
Dunfield, two-year-old colt.
Yeah, he was impressive, wasn't he?
Oh, mate, look, this one goes under the category of a don't worry about what it's racing, just have a look.
Yeah, I'm sure Paul will try out one of these lead up to the slippers and test him out now after that performance on Saturday, because it was very dominant. And he even though he was, you know, $6 or $7 chance on Saturday, so whether that was expected or not, but he looks a racehorse, there's no doubt.
Yeah, my word, Ron. And Ronnie, look, just with that one other one, I don't know if you know the info for this, but I'll ask anyway. Safado is my provincial championship horse. Do you know if Kim Waugh's going to, the trail Kim Waugh's taking towards the final, or do you know if it's straight in?
Well, he's got to run in a heat and qualify first. Mm. He's nominated for Saturday in a benchmark race, and a hard one at that. So
Where at, Ronnie? In town?
At Rose Hill.
Okay.
So you'll see him on, well, if they accept, he's going to, you'll see how good he is on Saturday if he runs in that benchmark race, and you might get odds, but he looks a nice horse. And
Ronnie, would you say they're taking it to town for it to, if it does, you know, run a hole, get as much money as possible? Because, is it a race against time more than getting it in the race getting money?
No, the timing's right. You know, I don't think you need the prize money. It's this country championships, you run in the heats and you qualify.
Top three, isn't it?
Is it top three or top two? Might be top three, I'm not sure. Yeah. Anyway, top two or top three gets you in, and you get a second bite at the consolation later if you want to have a crack at that. But
Ronnie, I never thought the heats were in town, though.
They're not. But this is not a heat. This is probably a tick over run till he gets into
he
will be in the provincial championship.
Not
the country championship because he's trained provincial.
And Ronnie, just one other horse. I know I've broken your nads about this horse in the past, but I can't find it anywhere. I've searched big time.
If you can't find it, I might be in trouble.
But it's a good one, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have been on about her, yeah.
Mate,
yeah,
if it's been sold to Hong Kong, I haven't even seen that listed either.
No,
so
it wouldn't be.
I just hope it's all right first and foremost, but where is it?
Yeah, good question.
Is it a well-bred horse?
Yeah, it's more joyous, isn't
That's right. That's
actually,
right, yeah.
What's it listed as, anything?
It's listed as active. And now with Hayes and Dabernick, I thought it was gay.
Ah, yes. Yeah, it was gays. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen a Dino?
No, I haven't. I'll do some inquiries.
Yeah. Frankel More Joyous.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
One at Canterbury.
Well, one start, one win.
Reasonably bred.
September 2017. That's when it won. Wow. Yeah.
And Ronnie?
Yes, Kurt. Haven't you got anything for Dino? God.
No, it's Ronnie's day today. I'm finding out about Woman Off Hazes.
Okay.
I got two bets with a mate of mine, and I'm pretty right on both of them. I reckon at least one for sure.
Mm.
The first one, Ronnie, confirmation, Ronnie. The first, the one I want to ask you is 1 kilo, 1 kg in racing weight-wise equivalent to 2 lengths?
No, depending on how long the race is, Kurt.
We never added that into the equation.
Well, you have to.
We didn't.
Well, that's how it is.
All right, well, we'll leave that one. The other bet is...
2 kilos over 1,000 metres compared to 2 kilos over 3,200 metres is completely
we're
different.
We're talking after about 4 or 5 frothies. We're not going that hard scenario. The other one, Dino.
Yes, Kurt.
Peter Morgan. Now, I was talking about him last night to my mate, how good his horses are going with other trainers and that.
Yep.
Now, Eloping was one of his, wasn't it? My mate reckons not.
No, definitely his.
Ah, thank you very much.
There you go, you've won one. And Kurt, by the way, and for everybody, the provincial championship, and obviously then we've got the country championship, but there's 5 qualifying races, and they're all staged at provincial grounds, obviously, at provincial race courses, and the top 3 qualify, okay? So we go for the provincial championship, the first one's going to be Sunday the 24th of February. Then we go to Newcastle, the 9th of March. Then we go to Gosford, the 16th of March. Then we go to Kembla, the 23rd of March. And then Kim Waugh will get her home advantage at Wyong on the 30th of March.
That's why she's got to have tick over runs before then.
Sure.
And that's why he's in town on Saturday.
Sure. And then you get your grand final, which is going to be at Royal Randwick on the 13th of April, so 2 weeks after that one at Wyong. So that's how it rocks. It's been great, isn't it? And each of those races is worth $150,000, Ronnie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the final's worth the $500,000.
Yeah, great. The country championships we know.
A bit more romantic, the country championships, but it's important for the...
Yep.
You know?
It's been a huge success, the country championship, and the provincial championships, they have to go hand in hand.
No doubt. Thank you, Kurt. I don't think he's got anything else for us.
No, I've got the little dots going on the text message, so I'm getting a message about Woman, but it's going for a long time, so I'm hoping we
hope it's not a sad story.
No, that's right.
John's emailed in here. Ray Thomas's headline in the Telegraph yesterday called Wink Sydney's horse. Is it not Australia's horse? What's your opinion, John? If you're writing for the Sydney newspaper, I'd be going Sydney's.
Of course.
Sydney's. If I'm writing for the Melbourne newspaper, I'll be saying Australia's horse.
I can't.
No.
I can't argue with the Sydney's horse.
I always relate this back to when I was...
But her winning run started in Queensland. Just remember that.
When I was in Queensland, when Greg Norman, the Shark, was going so well, it was always Brisbane's Greg Norman.
Yes.
And then... in Mount Isa, you pick up the Mount Isa newspaper, it was Mount Isa, and Mount Isa born Greg Norman. And then when he choked a couple of times, it was just Australia's Greg Norman. That's just how it works. Hi, guys. What do you think the chances of a theory are like in the Blue Diamond?
A theory? I just, at the corner of my eye, saw it win a trial. Jeez, it looked good. Theory's the Lonro, who's had one start. I think it was Rose Hill, and she beat a session that day. So she's, I think she's a filly, and she was very good winning that trial today. So I'll be interested to see what their plan is. They're shaping up pretty good, Godolphin, with a lot of really nice two-year-olds. Their timing is perfect.
He's got it with Tacit in the Slipper and the Autumn Sun in the Donny. So you've got it.
And he's got backups there as well. And this filly, like I said, she did beat a session at her debut. And I just love the way she just trialed. So.
And I'll give it a run. Barnaby's outraged. He's just celebrated Australia Day, and he can't believe Winx wasn't named Australian of the Year. He's outraged, Barney.
So he should be.
Well, there's plenty would be. Ronnie, horse to follow?
Look, a horse called Tangled.
Chris Waller's horse.
17 starts, 2 wins, and 2 years since his last win. But he has been gelded now. And when he was a three-year-old, they just tackled all the classics.
Big up in Brisbane, I remember, a winter carnival where...
Now he's gelded. Chris can just take his time with him now, put him in these benchmark races, and he'll get his confidence up and win a few races. So,
okay.
I thought Tangled could be the horse to follow there.
Dino?
The last race on Saturday spoke about it with Rock and Gold getting an easy run in front. Manolo Blahnik ran well, but the run of Secandrabad was hard to miss. He placed in the Metropolitan in the spring, and I think he'll be a lot better horse this time in. He'll win a decent staying race this time in.
He was just behind the place getters, wasn't he?
He ran fourth, really good run. Worked through the pack, got a good run through, but for him to do that in a slowly run 1400 augurs well for where he's going. And he might end up in the Chairman's or the Sydney Cup or something like that, and I like the way he's going.
Beautiful. Thanks, Dino.
Thank you, TK.
Have a good punting week, mate.
Shall do.
It's been a big long week.
Message from Hayes Dabney. It could be a bad story about woman. I'm not sure. But we'll try and let Kurt know for next week.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So stay listening, Kurt. Thanks, Ronnie.
See you, guys.
Thanks, everybody, for their input as well on the open line and also the text line. Apologies to the callers and the text messages we did not get to, but we thought, chatting about Winx and hearing from Huey Bowman and Chris Waller was always nice. It's now 10 o'clock. It's news and sporting headline time with Madison.